This is a podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Stand by for the call to order, or else we'll be joining the meeting already in progress.
Good evening. Welcome to the regularly scheduled City Fairbanks City Council meeting on this June 26, 2023. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
And Mayor Pruse?
Here. Please rise for the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance.
And it looks like our Zoom feed, the picture has frozen, but hopefully I think you can still hear us. Sorry about that. Hopefully we catch up here. As we gather here today in service to fellow citizens and to our community, let us work together toward a better Fairbanks by keeping the city's mission as our compass. Amen.
Mr. Stewart, you're at the door. Would you please lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Are there any ceremonial matters this evening?
No, there are not.
We are moving on to citizens' comments, oral communications to the City Council on any item not up for public hearing. Testimony is limited to 3 minutes, and the comment period will end no later than 7:30 p.m. Any person wishing to speak needs to complete the register located in the hallway. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
Mr. Wright, you're up first, sir. You'll have 3 minutes, and please state your name for the record.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Pruse, and council members. Good evening. My name is Bill Wright. I'm at 717 Farmers Loop Road outside the city limits, but I'm technically here in my capacity as Director of Tourism and Meeting Sales for Explore Fairbanks, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to give an update. Back in May, my colleagues and I, along with four Explore Fairbanks partners, attended U.S. Travel Association's IPW. This is the premier international travel trade show in the United States. The event in San Antonio, Texas, included one-to-one business meetings with more than 80 travel trade buyers and travel media journalists from South America, Mexico, India, Australia, Canada, Japan, Europe, and the U.K. Interest in Aurora viewing was high, as were national park adventures in Denali and the Arctic, and attention to Alaska cruise and rail belt package land packages was another example of increased demand from international travelers. Meanwhile, back home, we've had a steady flow of familiarization tours for this amazing midnight sun season that we've had so far. Since the beginning of May, Explore Fairbanks has hosted five separate FAMs that included 31 individual travel agents and tour operators. I'm also excited to share some of the year-to-date passenger numbers in and out of the Fairbanks International Airport. From January through April 2023, total arrivals and departures were just under 300,000, 299,000 passengers. And that's just 99% of the same period pre-pandemic in 2019, when 601,639,000 passengers traveled through the airport. Looking ahead, all signs point to record-high passenger numbers by the end of the current summer season. As you know from the strength of bed tax collections, occupancy and average daily rates at our local accommodations also continued to break records. Through May 2023, year-to-date occupancy was 66%, which is keeping pace with the same period in 2022. However, average daily rates through May in 2022 were at $136 per night, and so far this year are up to 12.5% at $153 per night. The bottom line is the visitor industry in our destination is strong and poised to grow beyond previous heights thanks to your willingness to invest in our community. And that includes my remarks for tonight, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions from Ms. Sprinkle?
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I know that the governor vetoed monies for the tourist industry. How will that impact you, if at all?
That's a really good question. It will impact us somewhat because as we look ahead to cooperative things that we do with them. Sometimes we'll go to a trade show, they'll have a booth, and we just buy into a booth share. If they don't go to a particular trade show based on their budget, that would impact the things that we do. So anywhere we're partnering with the state of Alaska, that cut in the budget would have an impact on our plans. We would probably need to pivot and find some other activity to participate in if any of those plans were impacted by their budget.
Ms. Rogers.
I'm trying to recall, it's been a while since I've been to a conference for Americans for the Arts, but they were going in the direction many times of having a focus on something like what our symposium was here in Fairbanks recently, as how it related to arts and cultural aspects of communities. Is this something that in the national conferences that you go to is possible for us to focus upon during conference times, even if it's, you know, helping with other cities and so on and so forth, because this is a nationwide problem, not just a local problem, and especially so when we talk suicide. And I've read several different things about persons coming to a place unknown to them in order to follow through with those decisions. I think it behooves us to be able to lock arms with way more people than we have here in this community and the resources that they have. And I've got some ideas about Winter Bear with the suicide prevention message that it has here for Indigenous people. And the behavioral health groups here in Fairbanks are going to conferences. I'm asking them the same question when they go to a national one. How are we tying in with the national resources? And we do have some wonderful, respectful relationships already built, such as you have with Explore Fairbanks, that I think we can use as a resource for that. So.
Yeah, when it comes to meetings in general, we are an excellent resource for meeting planners and conference attendees alike. When a meeting is held here, we try to encourage people to explore the destination while they're here and make it a part of their experience. But we also provide the nuts and bolts that different meetings and meeting planners need, all the way down to RFPs for facilities and accommodations and all of those other items that you need on your list to pull off a good conference, either here or even outside. So, yes, we are an excellent resource, and we like to be that. If someone wants to reach out for our services, they can do that.
Okay. As I mentioned, Winter Bear, I am talking with people in Juneau right now at Perseverance Theater about their connection to us with this. And so I'll make a point of including you.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for... Seeing none, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up online?
No, sir.
Is there anyone in the audience who wants to give public testimony? You have up to 3 minutes. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Madam Clerk.
We are at the approval of agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for a second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Mr. Ringstead, second by Ms. Sprinkle. Does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Seeing none, agenda is adopted. Madam Clerk.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of May 22nd, 2023, and it approved the reappointment to the Fairbanks Diversity Council. We are returning to the general agenda. We are now at the top of page 2, special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following liquor license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. I'll read the license number and doing business as name into the record. License 3965, Republic National Distributing. License 4504, Venue Fairbanks. License 4547, Humble Roots Beer Project, license number 576, The Crowbar.
Do I hear a motion to waive protest and liquor license applications? Mr. Marnie, is there a second? Ms. Sprinkle, is there any citizen here wishing to speak to these liquor license renewal applications? If so, please come forward, state your name, area of residence for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public discussion is closed. Council, any discussion? Seeing none, Madam, Ms. Rogers. Which one's that?
We're voting on Alderman at the poll.
Yes.
But the very first company on the regularly get in contact and answer questions.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest on liquor license renewal applications passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
We're at Mayor's comments and report.
Thank you. I will have a written report for you probably by Wednesday. Clem's not here to speak about it. Bates, he's on vacation. So I will have a written report from his written report out to you by Wednesday, plus with the extensive list of which ones we believe are connected to water or not connected on water. And you'll have that by Wednesday, I believe. The Polaris building is coming along. We had the downtown open around it for the Midnight Sun Festival. The RFP for knocking down the tower went out last Monday. There's a 30-day process on that, and so that is coming along. There's a big hole where the annex used to be, and I would say within a week they'll start backfilling that in and doing that. The overall plan is after that we're going to put a couple food trucks there for downtown food vending. The Golden Heart Plaza is looking very nice. I believe the plan that we implemented is working out very well with the multiple walkthroughs every day, the police officer that's there. I was by there a couple times last week, and you just literally see 40 to 60 visitors sitting there eating and three buses out front and just enjoying it. So I'd like to compliment our chief of staff for the plan that we worked on, put in place. It's working out very well. That's my report. Thank you. Yes, June.
Regarding the activities in the plaza, or on the plaza, do we have a connective statement of support for those concerts that Festival Fairbanks does down there? Do we have something on the website, or can we announce them each time we have a meeting so it goes out on the radio?
I'll talk with Julie.
I know they have their sign down there, but it's a very positive thing for us to continue to encourage people to go down and listen to those concerts.
I'll get with Julie and see if we can get a webcam going, maybe, and something like that.
We need to support those persons who are there elevating the atmosphere.
Yeah. It's a, you know, I was at a fast planning meeting last Wednesday or so, and at the end of it, I told everyone, go to the plaza. It's looking great. Mm-hmm. And I got a text about an hour later from the chief of staff. The plaza is looking great. And so the plaza is looking very good. We're going to stay on it and be diligent with it throughout the summer and the fall. So any other questions for me? Seeing none, Madam Clerk?
We're at the first round of council member comments.
Mr. Ringstad. First round of council member comments on anything you've heard so far in the meeting. Mr. Marnie.
Well, I want to ditto exactly. I drive by the Golden Heart Plaza all the time, and there's more people this year than I can remember. So we must be doing something good.
Excuse me, Ms. Tidwell. Ms. Sprinkle.
As per the tower of the Polaris, I had a genius idea. Are you ready for it, Mayor? I think we should salvage some of those birch trees and use them as a fundraiser.
Well,
I just think we should do something with them there and maybe put that into the RFP, but there it is. I'll leave that with you, too.
I'm going to try and contact an arborist because one of my things is I'm going to go up there and I'm going to cut down a birch tree, but also what I was thinking about doing is transplanting two and putting them in our yard out here and, something like that. I'm cutting down one. There are so many up there. I've been dreaming about this for 8 years.
So your arborist could help bring those, the rest of them down.
Arborist, they can figure out how to transport a couple down.
But
here.
We'd have to do it before you start tearing down the building.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Ms. Rogers, there is a plethora of trees up there.
No, I understand that, but you have like a few woods. Don't just cut. I was only objecting to the word cut. Cut is for spring proms at the high schools where you put that cut tree in the bucket of water and it blooms and then a month later it's gone. So
I'm not looking, when I cut one down, it's not for transplant. Yeah. It's for personal gratification.
Oh, I see. So
Ms. Sprinkle.
We're requesting personal gratification.
Yes, we will have that for you too. Okay.
I also wanted to say that Midnight Sun Festival was a complete success and we had some great people to help us put that together and our city looked really, really good. Good crowd, felt safe. I think the businesses did really, really well. Public Works did an amazing job to help fill a plant well that was, the cover was removed. It felt dangerous, and they just quickly fixed that so no one got harmed in walking around our city. And we also did a bike valet, which was new. We used the parking garage, and I'm waiting for those numbers, but I think it really, really brought some families and some fun downtown, so. Well, bravo, Fairbanks.
Thank you, Ms. Sprinkle. Ms. Rogers. Okay. Mr. Cleworth.
None at this time, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Madam Clerk.
And we are at unfinished business. The first item there is ordinance number 6249, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code section 2-260C2 by increasing the exposure limit on BBB-rated securities in the city permanent fund investment policy, introduced by Councilmember Ringstad. This is second reading and public hearing.
Mr. Ringstad, it's your ordinance. Would you like to? Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct. I know we're going to have a plethora of people here who are wanting to talk about this, so. Is there anyone from the public who would want to have 3 minutes and discuss your theories and thoughts about triple B rated securities? Please come up. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Mr. Ringstad. Motion to. Is there a second? Mr. Cleworth. Okay, Mr. Ringstead.
By our investment counselors to give them a little more flexibility in the bigger scheme of things. It's a very small percent of our investment portfolio, but it does give them a little flexibility. So they had asked for this change.
Any other comments on it? Thank you for putting it together. This is not a high staple item, but it is important. So thank you. Appreciate it. Any other comments? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 6249, Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to adopt Ordinance 6249 passes 6-0. Madam Clerk.
Item B of unfinished business, that's ordinance number 6250, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 74, Article 5, Room Rental Tax, to change the allocation to the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, introduced by council members Ringstad and Marnie. This is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance number 6250?
Motion to adopt.
Through Ms. Tidwell and second by Mr. Marnie. Is open for public comment. Is there anyone here such as Jomo Stewart who wants to give a good 3 minutes? Mr. Stewart, please state your name for the record.
Jomo Stewart, and I live in Taku Westgate. And you're clipping along this meeting, so I'll make it a good 30 seconds. I just wanted to be able to say on behalf of myself, my board, my staff, I know it's been a lot of work. You all have worked very hard on this for over a year now. And so however the vote goes, I just wanted to convey to the council, to the mayor, my thanks, the thanks of my board, the thanks of my staff, for even considering this. We really do appreciate it. So thanks.
Any questions for Mr. Stewart? Ms. Sprinkle?
Sorry, this is for you.
Okay. You know, yes, you are. I don't believe that your revenue source goes over more than 1% of your actual operational income. Therefore, I will say that you have no conflict of interest in voting for this.
Thank you.
And we have no active contracts or outstanding payments for this.
So like I said, less than 1%. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anyone else? City Council, discussion.
This is the dead horse.
Well, hold it now. Hold it. Let's just take a moment here. Let's just take a moment. We've been working on this since August. And this is the final piece. Mr. Ringstad.
I'll make a comment. I was told by a very experienced politician a long, long time ago, when you got the votes, you vote. When you don't, you talk.
I just wanted that final moment. I think the votes are there. Anyway, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to adopt ordinance 6250, Ms. Tidwell.
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad.
Yes.
Mr. Marnie.
A double yes.
Ms. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth.
Yes.
Ordinance number 6250 passes with a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk.
Item C of unfinished business, ordinance number 6251, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 50, Personnel, Section 50-209, Training Reimbursement, Section 50-281, Personal Leave, and Section 50-285, Health Insurance Coverage, introduced by Councilmember Cleworth. This is second reading and public hearing.
Do I hear a motion to approve ordinance number 6251? Is there a second? Second. Open for public testimony. Is there anyone here who wants to have 3 minutes to discuss this ordinance? Seeing none, public testimony is closed.
Mayor, for the record, who was the second on that? I apologize. Thank you, Mr. Ringstein.
Council, discussion. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. First, a thank you to Margarita, our CFO, for spearheading this. We went through several iterations. She worked up one copy, and then we did some editing on it. And then thanks to the city clerk and our city attorney for giving us contributions to that, too, and some good ideas, which have been incorporated here. This can always be changed. This is a kind of a catch-up over a period of time to bring our exempt staff into conformity with the other employees of the city. So, and I would encourage them, if either of you two sitting here have any concerns about it, voice it now. Hopefully we covered them all.
Well, also, my comments would be thank you for going into this, sir, both you and Margarita. And as we go through a lot of our operations here in the city council, we see that code does need to be updated. And you bring a very, very good knowledge, as does Margarita, so I appreciate you doing this. That I do. Any other discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the vote?
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 6251, Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Kleber?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to adopt Ordinance 6251 passes 6-0. Madam Clerk.
The final item of unfinished business is Ordinance Number 6253, an ordinance establishing a permanent life insurance plan for commissioned officers within the Fairbanks Police Department to enhance recruitment and hiring, introduced by Mayor Prus. This is second reading and public hearing.
Do I hear a motion to approve? Ms. Sprinkle and second by Mr. Marnie. Is there anyone in the public who would want to speak on behalf of this ordinance? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Discussion, City Council. This is an ordinance I introduced. This is the opening of this. You will see later on a plan of actual how we're going to do it. And we have put this out for an RFP for different firms, and we're probably going to revise that. I introduced Margarita to a friend of mine. His name's Sterling Gallagher. He was the Commissioner of Revenue under Hammond. He wrote all the insurance. He wrote the permanent fund. He wrote the permanent fund dividend. He's one of those exceptional financial minds, and he is going to be reviewing what we're doing in our RFP, and he always already has changes for us. And he's not charging us a dime. And he's out of Anchorage, and he has a firm that can do that. So this is just the first portion of what we're looking at. This allows us to basically go out and do it, but I must bring it back to you with the actual plan and what it'll actually mean. Now, there is one thing on this ordinance I would like to change. I would like an amendment. And under Section 3, it says the City of Fairbanks will require employees to be vested for 13 years to receive benefits of the plan. I would like to change that to 10 years. In regards to talking with some of the police officers, you have different mindsets. I am a baby boomer. I look at things 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. The people that we're having coming in now, if they're 1 or 2 or 3 years out, that 13 years is probably just going to be a little bit too long in my estimation after talking with them to grab them. We're getting people with lateral transfers now, and that gets them to 5, 6 years. And we can get them to 10 years. And I think after discussion with them, I think 10 years would be best for this to work with. But it needs a motion from you. That's what it does, yeah. Is there a second? Mr. Ringstead. Okay. We have a discussion now. Mr. Ringstead.
When I look at this sheet that I think our chief of staff put out, you guys put it out. Okay, excuse me. You know, a third of our current troops are at the 10-year mark. And then we got five more that are at the 5-year mark. And we got all the new ones. And my hope is that a year or two from now, we're going to have 8 more new ones. So at that point, we will have half of our staff probably that has 5 years or less. So 13 is a long stretch. I haven't given this a whole lot of thought, but I guess, you know, when I was, until I was in my 30s, I never much thought about what went into my retirement account. I was more concerned with how much do I make today, you know, and that's reality. So philosophically, I guess I don't have a real hard concern of one number versus the other. I mean, the object in my point of view is we want to give them an incentive to stay here with us for a long period of time. My initial reaction would be I'm not sure there's a significant difference between 10 and 13 from my point of view.
Any further discussion? Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm where John is in that, but 13 seemed to be a number that was given to us because it would be a psychological hurdle than to push them into a longer stay, isn't it? So I mean, will it hurt to change it to 10? Will it let people leave sooner? I guess I just don't know the difference between 10 and 13. And maybe you can talk to someone to talk about it.
Trying to get them to 10 after they've been here 5.
Yeah.
Versus
I get that.
Getting them to 13 after they've been here 5.
Is it like $2.99 versus $3? Is that the kind of thing?
$2.50 versus $3.
I don't.
Mr. Clearworth.
First, I would just like to do something simple here and change the title of this, make an amendment to change the title, an ordinance establishing a retirement and permanent life insurance.
Mr. Clearworth, we can do that after this amendment is voted upon.
Oh, we're still arguing over that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we voted on it. Sorry. Let's vote
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I think the 10-year move is a brilliant idea. I've had several conversations this week with many officers. And this younger generation, and I was the same way. You didn't worry about your future until you were about 40 years old, and all of a sudden you wake up and, where's my retirement? How am I going to live? And maybe that mindset is in the younger officers. At this day and age, we don't know what we're going to be or do in 3 years. So I think 10 years is a brilliant move. I appreciate that.
Any further discussion before we vote on the motion to the amendment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll for the amendment.
This is on the motion to change the number 13 to 10 in Section 3 of the ordinance. Mr. Clearworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The amendment passes 6-0. Mr. Clearworth, you would like to make another amendment?
Thank you, Mayor. To change the heading, an ordinance establishing a retirement and permanent life insurance plan and so on there. Can anyone look, if I get a second.
Okay, so insert retirement and, okay. Is there a second to that motion? Mr. Ringstad, discussion.
The only reason to do that is I think it's confusing to someone who looks at this and goes, a permanent life insurance plan for 10 grand, what the heck are you buying?
You're absolutely right, and we're doing something we've never done before. So adjusting this there is correct, and again, we're not going to be doing anything without coming back to you again on this and showing you exactly what we're doing and how we're setting it up. And I'm sure that's going to involve a work session or two with a firm that we believe gives the best service. So, Ms. Sprinkle.
Just making sure that this is outside of the contract, so if we find that this isn't attracting the officers we want in a couple years, we can do something to change
it. Just keeps them. This is one of the legs is to keep them.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Rogers.
I'm not sure if this is the proper place to ask this question, but a minute or two ago you mentioned that the agent was not charging us anything for his advice and information.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He owes me a few things in life, and this is one of them.
I understand all of that. I've been around a while. I'm also of the mind, having been around for a while and observed a lot of things, that many times those kinds of transactions have a fuzzy line that somehow or another later we might be indebted to a person who has given us a great service. So I'm just wondering what our circumstances, what's the reality of our circumstances?
Well, he immediately looked at what we're doing. He said, you should open this up for an annuity. I said, oh, okay. So we have to put out there in the RFP an update to the annuity. So we're going through that with him on how to better define what we want, what we're looking for financially. And he doesn't talk to me about it. He talks to Margarita about it. I introduced him to her and sent it to him, and bam, it's for one of the first things he says. So they will talk, and they will adjust the RFP accordingly, what Margarita believes, after consulting with Sterling Gallagher.
And if I might, the discussion should be only on the amendment from Mr.
Oh, sorry.
That's why I asked if this was the proper time.
Okay, I apologize. Yeah. Mr. Ringstead.
Title change would read establishing a retirement
and permanent life insurance plan.
And, or is it a permanent life insurance as part of a retirement plan? Or, I mean, it sounds to me like it reads funny. The comment about saying this, it would kind of read so people wonder, what the heck are you buying here? But I'm not, just the way the sequence of words struck me is confusing.
Okay. Mr. Cleworth.
I'm assuming, and if I'm wrong, I hope somebody will raise their hand or yell at us, but that this is essentially like a whole life plan where you get some benefits at the end of it. If that's incorrect, then the title would not be correct. But I'm assuming that's how it works. So
Mr. Mayor, so what you're saying, establishing, well, not establishing a retirement plan. We've already got one, right? So you're trying to make this part of a retirement plan. That's why I'm confused.
You see, the retirement plan that the officers get is administered by them from their through their union, through their monies. This is administered by the city of Fairbanks.
But if you say establishing a retirement plan and a permanent life, it would say we're starting. The and means you're doing both. We've already got one. What we're trying to do is tie this. I think what you're trying to do is tie this to a retirement plan.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Mr. Clayworth.
We can add the word supplemental retirement plan. They're under PERS. All the police and fire under PERS. And so they have a retirement plan. That is correct.
So when you say do a supplemental,
this essentially is a supplemental, yeah, to that.
That makes sense.
If it goes.
That would be clear to somebody reading it.
Would that be as a friendly amendment to your amendment, Mr.
There's no such thing as a friendly amendment, but... Mr. Mayor, but with a concurrence, a second, we'll add the word supplemental.
Okay.
It would read an ordinance establishing a supplemental retirement
and insurance plan
and a permanent life insurance.
Supplemental retirement plan and a permanent life insurance plan, I guess, is the best way to read it.
Yeah. Is there any further discussion?
As long as the clerk is satisfied, yeah.
Of course she does. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On that amendment that Mr. Cleworth just stated, Mr. Ringstein?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
The amendment passes 6-0. Now back to the amended ordinance. Is there any other amendments? Mr. Cleworth.
Not amendments. I have questions on this. This is all predicated on the fact that we're going to be reducing this department by 7 positions. If for 5 officers and 2 PSAs, 2 PSA positions I don't think we've ever even filled, which I think is unfortunate. The only way this thing can pay for itself is just to be outside of the contract, and the way it's being pitched here is by savings from the current staffing that we have now. So I guess questions for the CFO. In order for this to work, we would have to still receive budgets showing the full staffing and not reduce it to 37. And so that you've got 7 positions that remain vacant, but it seems like a very odd way to do all this. But what do you think?
In your next budget,
you would see a reduction of staffing and an increase of benefits totaling this $370,000. So the positions will be removed from the budget.
And I see a problem down the road. I mean, for many, many years from all the chiefs that I worked under, they always say we need to be at the national average. And the national average for a city our size is about 42. And we have consistently, even knowing that we couldn't fill all those positions, I think to the credit of the council currently and the ones in the past, we have always funded those positions to protect that budget for the police department. And, you know, with the hopes that maybe they could be filled at some later date. Yes, that frees up money when the positions are empty. So I have, you know, concerns in the third, fourth, fifth year with the actual staffing at that level. If we got up to 37, then would be the pressure on the council then to increase it back to the 42. And what do you do with this program here? Do you get rid of it at that time, or how does that work? I don't know how that works.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Does the council have the...
I'm sorry. I saw her. I thought you were done. I apologize.
And I don't know how the council in those years would deal with that at that time. And I'm not sure if I were a police officer currently, if this would be the one thing that would keep me or not. And this comes down to some other questions I would have before we get done here. Under the plan that we just got that was put on our benches here tonight, I still wonder how an employee that said that was hired in, say, 2010, and they said, well, after... Let's say take later than that, a 2020 employee, so that they decide to move on after 3 or 4 years. My understanding is that they would not get any benefit from this plan at all. They would leave that money at the city. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So would we be forcing, other than the Tier 3 employees, and Tier 3, I assume we're meaning Tier 3 under the PERS system, is that correct?
We will be establishing that in our next round, the difference what we can do for Tier 3 and Tier 4 on our next ordinance with this.
Yeah, and that's our, you know, we're voting for something we don't really know the mechanics of, and that concerns me. I like to know the nitty-gritty of things. The good part about this is if it passes, I spent a lot of time looking at comparisons with the three departments we always compare with. If you pump this into the package that we have, this would put us comparable or ahead of Juneau, Wasilla, and way ahead of North Pole. That would be the plus of having it. But I would almost like to have the union weigh in on this thing before we make a final decision. Would they rather see a bonus system than going into a additional retirement system? Would they like to see a stopgap measure until we get to next year when the CBA comes open? Or would they like to just see us go straight to the CBA on an early reopening and deal with it that way instead of creating this?
Well, in answer to one of your questions or thoughts there, I've talked to the union, and if you use this as an annual bonus and you lose the basis of this, which is to get them to 10 years, here's a bonus. Here it is. They can leave next year. With this is set, the premise of this is to get them to stay 10 years. You give them a bonus, you'll lose that incentive. All of a sudden, they have $10,000 in the bank, plus whatever fiscal interest or whatever it's going on with this. Oh, after year 5 or year 6, I got 4 more years, and I get this. That's what this is what this leg is about.
So, Mayor, your idea is that this will come back later on with the details. And then what do we do at that time? Vote it up or down at that time, or is this a done deal tonight?
Yes, no, no. It's you'll be voting for the plan on how it's set up. This gives us the operation to go out and do it. And we already started it just by putting out the RFP. So with the consent of the council during discussions.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Sprinkle.
Because the math I think I keep checking in on is that we have budgeted 44 people at this current time. This life insurance plan is actually saying 37, so we are saving 7 already, but we only have 29 real people. So that's another 6. So we've got some space to absorb some of these costs, mm-hmm. is what I'm factoring.
Well, yeah, and what happens is if you look at the fiscal note on page 3, it shows an annual cost of $370,000 and annual savings of $990,000. So without anything else done, this saves us in our budget $620,000 a year. And then later on, we'll be deciding what do we want to do with that, if anything. But that's what this does. It pays for itself, plus put something aside for anything else we want to do.
As long as we budget for that number of people.
I beg your pardon?
As long as we budget for that number
of
people. Just want to make sure. I'm just saying that out loud. Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
One other question before we get done with this, or not a question, a comment, in your reference with Sterling Gallagher. And it was a fair question or comment, but I've known Sterling for 40 years, and I've never heard a negative comment about his professional ethics. Sterling, he'll do this just for fun. That's the way his mind works.
He's the A-team. But anyway, Ms. Rogers.
Thank you, John. You and I have talked over the years about many such things, so I appreciate that comment coming from you. And it spurs me to further ask then, is it permissible for us to seek a representative, a contract with someone without making it available to others?
What's your question again?
Because as I'm hearing from you, you said this is, quote, a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And what's our procedure for going out and seeking insurance? I mean, you know, that's what I'm getting at.
What he's doing is he's giving Margarita advice on the RFP. We put out an RFP.
Okay.
So I sent it to him. He goes, okay, add an annuity, add this, do this. Re-box what you're doing.
So he's looking over our shoulder and
making sure it's done right. Yeah.
Okay.
Giving his incredible experience as input.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask another question.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Barney, you mentioned that you had several conversations regarding this issue. Can you share anything with us about what you've learned?
Well, one in particular this afternoon, we kind of do something with dispatch where we give them a bonus if they stay another year. I forget the dollar amount, but that was a topic that was addressed, that some of these younger officers that, you know, don't think down the road like young people tend to do, that may be a better option. So that still, to me, is not, I mean, to me, I'm trusting command that we've talked about that, or they've talked about that with the younger officers and basically the people under them, that which way they would like to go. And I'm sure they've done that, I would hope. And that's really about it, Jen.
Any other discussion? Mr. Clearworth.
I'm queasy about the whole thing. I don't mind voting for it because it's coming back, but the thought of, you know, permanently reducing seven people bothers me, and that's the funding source for this. If we add to the department, that the funding source goes away here, unless you put it as a part of a CBA or something like that, then the pressure's on that council to do something. But to see these, you know, these PSA positions go away right now, and that's a funding source. I mean, that's what's being implied in the fiscal note. I think we would still have the ability to change that possibly. I believe in the system. Police departments everywhere are going more and more to a systems like that where they're having civilians help out, doing the more drudgery of the job, doing a lot of the computer work, statistical work, and especially in the detective departments like we were reading in the article in The Economist. The business is changing. I just don't want to get ourselves so locked into something that we can't go back and revisit that. And that would give us time, too, while the RFP is out there, if the union has a different idea, that I think we might want to entertain that. If I were a young officer, I would not be excited about this, to be blunt. I'd want the present value of money. Give it to me. I'll invest it myself. I can do a better job, and I have control over it. That would appeal to me more. So, you know, if this is what's going to work for people, I don't know. It would not work for me. That's all I can say. So I don't mind voting for it because we're going to have another bite at the apple as this goes along. But thank you.
Any other comments? Ms. Rogers.
Sorry to continue on this, but and this goes along with several comments I've made along the years here. Whenever we make comments about a grouping of people, and that they think to me is right there. I'm going, we're all very, very individual. And when we talk about persons' understanding, concerns, and practices with money or money that's coming to them, and Mr. Marnie, you used, you know, the years of someone in their early 40s or something as being a youthful person. When I was 37 years old, I pretty much dumped all my apple carts over and started fresh without any concern about what was being left behind. And I know many, many other people similarly. I don't think of 40 as when we start thinking about age. I think that even now at my age, I'm very close to all sorts of people my age. And we all think differently. And so I really hate to put labels out there about groups of people and how they think. I think that each and every person who's sitting out in this audience right now thinks differently than the other. They may agree on certain terms, and they may band together in order to do something. But I think when we start labeling people, I just go, ugh, because, no, we each have our own road to go.
Any discussion? Ms. Sprinkle?
I just want to make sure that you've had conversations with not only the union, but your admin, your chief. I mean, it sounds like this is exciting to them, so that's what I'm hearing.
This came from them.
Okay.
See everyone back there?
Yeah. Yeah.
They've all been involved.
Very good.
Everyone. Ms. Rogers.
All right, sorry, but I can't let this conversation go by without, if we're going to talk about the persons in the room here. This is an incredible group of people. And each and every one of them is a little bit different in personality also. I worked very closely in connection with various things over the years here with the people that we are viewing here and the people that we're discussing and the people that we're working with. And I have tremendous admiration, and I have tremendous confidence, and I have really good reassurance, I think. It's probably the best word to say, reassurance. A bit ago, we were mentioning just a bit about persons who, in other communities, are starting to band together to have the community be more involved in working with the difficult circumstances that all of the departments are finding over and over and over for several years now, and some of their solutions have been to have the community assist and help. Our group of folks here in the audience are spot on working on those sorts of things, on how for all of us to go forward together, and I'm very confident in them.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to adopt ordinance number 6253 as amended, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
The motion to adopt ordinance 6253 as amended passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
There is no new business this evening, so we're moving on to discussion items, committee reports.
Committee reports will start with Ms. Tidwell.
Nothing to report.
Mr. Clearworth.
Thank you, Mayor. FAST Planning met this last week and adopted the breakdown for CMAC funding. That's an acronym for congestion mitigation. The city was on two items. One of them was, sidewalk snow removal equipment. We do have the money to purchase a Boss Snowstar mag with attachments. Crystal might know what that is. And trackless something or other, articulated tractor. So we'll be able to purchase that. And then in the downtown parking garage, enhancements were approved. Construct improvements in and near the Lavery Transportation Center parking garage. Project includes utilities, roadside hardware, ADA improvements. Improvements include restriping, re-signing the parking garage, installation of wayfinding signs, enhancement of bicycle parking areas, installation of a transit notification system for pedestrians, waiting inside for buses, and several building enhancements, and including replacement of the building's awning and installation of a new illuminated sign. Also, in another part of it, they're looking at an electrical charging unit for EV vehicles. We would have a charging station inside there as well. So that's good news. Thank you.
Thank you for the report. Ms. Rogers.
Well, I only have a couple of things here. One of them was, I want to thank Mr. Marnie, first of all. He traded my borough meeting night with me this past Thursday. I had a birthday party for my granddaughter that I didn't want to miss. And very gratefully, he accepted my question and on my behalf. And I appreciate that so very much. As I learned afterwards, Mr. Marnie has already done all of his required meetings, and really for him to offer to take my slot that night meant he was going way beyond what was politely necessary. So I want to remind everyone that if you have a night where it's going to be difficult for you to be over there, please call me because I have a free spot there that I could do for someone. So, and thank you, Mr. Marnie. I wanted to also say I went to the Paul Butler presentation over at Herring Auditorium, and that was a pretty rousing evening, and it was well attended by many, 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 many people. I can't say enough good things about it, just like with some of the other workshop-type activities that our police department has been presenting to us over the last year-ish, maybe two now. A very forward-moving tone and area of understanding that is not only helping with our community, but as I'm there at the Arbinger classes that we had a while back, hearing some of the officers talk about their own personal circumstances of life and decision-making and everything, what a positive aspect it is that we're not just talking about work only, we're talking about humans and how we go forth as people locked in good discussion and locked in arms and going forward in a fashion where we all care about each other and their circumstances. And Mr. Marnie, your answer to my call the other day was very much in that line of thinking, that you had greater concern about my need at that point than you did about your evening plans that night. So
it's hard to say no.
Thank you. All right. That takes care of my meetings this past week.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Mr. Marney.
Well, I've got no committees currently. I think Explore Fairbanks is going to meet again towards the end of the summer. And were you doing comments also at the same time?
No.
That's it.
Mr. Ringstead. Ms. Sprinkle.
I have an event tomorrow for the Riverfront Commission, and we're going to visit the Moose Creek Dam project. So we'll be stomping around in the wilds. I'm not sure what I'm going to see, but I'm excited. But it nearly didn't happen, or I'm not sure what's going to happen here, because the borough has decided to eliminate our monthly meetings, and we're supposed to do quarterly meetings. And I'm not happy about it, because commissioners were not told about it. As a city entity that is involved in the Riverfront Commission, there was no heads up. I did go just to see the vote happen, and that commission was well attended to show their displeasure. So I am told that the zoning commission will meet monthly, the planning commission will meet monthly, and most others will not. They'll be quarterly. So I'm a little sad that we didn't have anybody from the borough come to talk about that change.
Okay. Madam Clerk. Oh, Ms. Rogers.
I know this is out of protocol here, but
Is it about a committee?
It's about this committee statement.
Go ahead.
This year, yes. I just want to go on record as stating, and I've done this before when other committees have wanted to go away, and pretty soon you're doing less and less and less meeting, and then all of a sudden you're kind of out of sight. And so I just want to say that I think that it is a poor move, and I wish you well on trying to get back to monthly meetings.
Madam Clerk.
We are now at council member comments.
Mr. Ringstead.
June's thought about age and difference and what have you. June, I think the problem is we still think you're 40.
Mr. Marty, you got to follow that one up.
I was thinking 39, but anyway, I'm glad that we got the two legs on the stool done, and we got one more leg to get past, and hopefully it's a quick one. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell.
I just wanted to thank all the people that had a hand in the festival this last weekend. I went to the festival downtown, and it was great to see everybody in the community out, and, I mean, people by the thousands, I guess. So everybody that was involved, thank you. It was great.
Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the casualties of the festival, there's a sign on 2nd Avenue that's put on the Marriott lot there between the two driveways there, that's at about a 45-degree angle. Maybe we could tell Public Works to get that fixed before somebody takes it home. And I'd like to put on for the next work session on the agenda the topic of the solar panels on Public Works again.
Okay. Could. Ms. Rogers.
And this is just comments. I think I've made plenty of comments tonight. Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I do look forward to the report you say will be given by you as opposed to the CLEM.
Mm-hmm.
Will we, if I have questions, do we bring Clem back?
I beg your pardon?
If we have questions, do we bring Clem back?
Well, Clem will be back after his vacation's over.
Okay.
And, of course, you can always have Clem back here to answer questions.
Can you also speak maybe to No, never mind. This is comments. I'll leave it alone. Thank you.
Okay. One thing I want to close with also in council member comments, this will involve Mr. Cleworth. I will be gone from the August 28th city council meeting. I have to attend a celebration of life in a location that will not allow me to get back by the meeting time. It's the 27th of August. I've brought it up before. So at that time, Mr. Cleworth will be running the meeting. You look at the person with the most seniority to run the meeting. That'll be Mr. Cleworth, and he's done it for a few years himself, so you'll be in good hands. Madam Clerk.
I don't have a formal report, just a little seed to plant that the election is actually coming up pretty soon because we're going to do candidate filing starting next month. It's already almost here, so start thinking about that. Speaking to the public, does the attorney have anything?
Nothing. Just thank you for your service, everyone.
We're going to go into recess until 7:45, and then we'll have an executive session.
We need a motion.
By Ms. Sprinkle, seconded by Ms. Tidwell.
Can we say the topics? Could we read those, please, into the record?
Yes, into the record. We will be going into... Okay. You know, before you, we never had to do this. I move that we enter into executive session as permitted under AS 44.62.310C-1 to provide direction to our bargaining team on the wage changes to the current collective bargaining agreement between the PSEA and the city. B, I move we enter into executive session as permitted under AS 34.44.62.310C-1 to provide direction to our city attorney regarding settlement discussions between Roberts et al. And the city of Fairbanks. C, I move that we enter into executive session as permitted under AS 34.62.310C-1 to provide direction to our bargaining team regarding the IBEW labor negotiation. There we go. Thank you. We'll be back at 7:45.
City Council met in executive session. Discussed the three items that were mentioned at the outset of the meeting. No official action was taken. That's it.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Is there a second? Any objection? Seeing none, we're adjourned.
This concludes the podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Please visit us at www.fairbanksalaska.us.